your exercise program, exercise programs in general. How do we get people fit and strong? And there's so many complicated answers. How many exercises to do, how often to do them, what exercises to do, and there's lots of argument about how to program for exercise. So if you wanted to customize, tailor, and personalize an exercise program for any person that comes in contact with you, if you're excited about inspiring and exciting people to exercise, what do we give them to do? And exercise program is a very controversial topic, but what if we had a look at anatomy and physiology rather than other people's opinions, magazine articles, social media gurus? And having been an exercise professional for over 30 years, that's what I used to do. I used to run around after all the experts. What's this person saying? And what that person writing in a magazine article? And what's that person lecturing about? And they were people with university degrees and years of experience and lots of clients. And I believed everything they said because they were very impressive with their impressiveness. However, I figured out the hard way and with lots of bad experiences with my own clients that what experts tell us to do may not always be the right thing to do. And if we are going to be top level exercise professionals, should we figure it out for ourselves? Should we know how the human body works, how it gets fit and strong? And then if anybody that we come in contact with wants to be excited, or we excite them to exercise and then they want to exercise, we would know exactly how to get them fit and how to get them strong. So there's the big questions. What do I do? What exercise is best? How often should I do it? And how many of them should I do? And how do I do it safely? And probably safely is the most important one, because if people are going to hurt themselves doing any form of exercise, is it possible that they won't be able to exercise and get the amazing benefits of being healthy, fit and strong? Fighting disease, having high self-esteem, great hair, great skin, great nails, strong muscles and bones, live long, strong with great quality of life and feel fantastic every day. Woohoo! Who wouldn't want to do that? So how do we get people fit and strong so they can get all of those benefits? Safely. There's the big one, safely. So what if we first start with what to do? And from a huffy puffy get fit point of view, it's very simple. Just find something that people love to do that gets them puffed, or the thing that they hate the least. So obviously our heart and lungs have absolutely no idea what we're doing, as long as they are pumping oxygen, blood, nutrition around our body, we're going to get fitter, and a fit body is capable of doing so many more things. So whether I'm boxing or skipping or running or dancing, playing my sport, doing a martial art, doesn't matter, as long as I'm getting puffed. Pretty easy. How long should I get puffed for? And that answer, or that question, answers itself, because if somebody goes really, really hard and they go as hard as they can and then they can't go anymore, it's about 10 seconds. It's called the phosphate system. So when you understand your physiology, the energy timeline, once you go past 10 seconds, you start tapping into that lactate system, which produces lactic acid, and there's a burning sensation in the muscles and some people get sick. So what if we stuck with around about the 10 second mark? And that's whether it's a fit person or an unfit person. Isn't that exciting? So if I go as hard as I possibly can, really, really hard, whatever it is that I choose to do, I'm going to overload my heart, overload my lungs, and cause chemical changes, not just in my body, but in my brain, that will make me fitter and wiser. Because when I pump neurotransmitters into my brain that literally happen when I sprint, I'm going to have neurogenesis, grow new brain cells, and neuroplasticity, which changes the way I think. So all of that's pretty exciting. So how do I get fit? So I've got a new person in front of me. It doesn't matter whether it's an elite athlete or an athlete, a male or a female, a child or an older person, doesn't matter. Just get them to do whatever it is that they like to do. Go as hard as they possibly can. When they get puffed, stop. When they get their breath back, they can go again, but it doesn't have to be right now. It could be in an hour's time. It could be in 2 hours' time. It could be tomorrow. As long as at some stage in my life, on a reasonably regular basis, I'm getting as puffed as I possibly can. Now, the other great question there about huffy puffy exercise is, how long does the person have to exercise? Now, people who hate exercise usually don't have any time, or people who tell us that they want to exercise but they don't have any time. The simple question is this: how long do you have? So if somebody's got 1 minute or 5 minutes or 12 minutes or 27 minutes or an hour and 27 minutes, it doesn't matter. Get puffed, get your breath back, get puffed, get your breath back, get puffed, get your breath back. The deal here is don't go again until you've got your breath back. And when I say deal, we're making a deal with our body to get it fit. I want to be really fit. And when you sprint, you can't sprint again at full power, at full pressure, until your body's fully recovered. Now, the beautiful thing, it doesn't take very long to recover. And I always use the toilet or flushing toilet analogy. If I go to the bathroom, do number twos, press the button and the number twos don't go away. And I'm sure we've all had that experience, so please don't be embarrassed. Have you ever been or done the embarrassing thing where you start pressing the button many times, hoping that the rest of the number twos will go away? Well, of course, that toilet's not going to work again effectively at full pressure until the cistern fills back up again, full of water again. And then you can press the button and then you'll get a full flush. Well, the human body's the same. Sprint really hard. When you are completely recovered, you've got your breath back and you feel normal again, go again. Woohoo! So whether you've got 1 minute or 5 minutes or 1 hour and 27 minutes, you just keep doing as many of those as you can in the time frame that you've got. So it's not about we need to do 20 minutes of exercise or 30 minutes of exercise. Just ask the person in front of you, the person that you care about, the person that you're exciting to exercise, how long have you got? And if they've only got a minute, awesome. Get puffed, get your breath back. You might get two or three in a minute. You might only get one. But the beautiful thing about getting puffed is you automatically feel good. You automatically, immediately feel more energetic. So you might find that whoever's coming to your life and wants to feel energetic will want to do that 10-second sprint quite regularly because they'll get puffed and pump happy drugs into their brain and feel really good. Woohoo! Now, the beautiful thing, of course, about getting puffed is you get fit and then you get all those long-term benefits as well. So how do I program for somebody to get fit? Find somebody or something that somebody likes to do and get them puffed doing it. And again, as they're going as hard as they possibly can, it's about 10 seconds. And they do that as many times as they can in the time frame that they've got. Pretty simple. Ooh, what about strong? Now, the beautiful thing about strong is that the stronger my muscles and bones are, the stronger my endocrine hormonal system, the stronger my central nervous system, the harder and faster I'll be able to sprint. And the easier it will be because strong muscles can go for longer and harder and faster. So do we need to get people strong? And the whole benefit of strength is not just, yes, I'll be stronger, or men, yes, I'll get bigger muscles. It's the muscles pulling on bones, so the bones get stronger, so there's no chance of osteoporosis. And it's not just the outside of the bones that get strong, it's the inside, and the inside is where our immune system is built. So strength gives us a fast metabolism, a body that burns calories, sugar, and fat much faster, and reduces our risk of disease to somewhere between zero and very, very unlikely to get sick. And even if we do get sick, pick up a germ, bug, or virus, we'll get rid of it really quickly because we've got a really strong immune system. We've also got an endocrine system that's firing and a central nervous system that's firing. So being strong is really important. How to get strong? Ooh, how to do that? Pretty simple. No one's going to argue. Overload muscles and bones. For your central nervous system to fire and your hormonal system to fire most effectively, it's using as many muscles as possible at the same time. So that's big exercises, produces big results, of course. And if I can fire up as many muscles, bones, ligaments, tendons, and joints as possible at the same time, yes, I get major firing of the central nervous system, major firing of the endocrine system, but it also means that my exercise program is really short because at most I'm going to do three exercises. And is it possible that I could just do one exercise? Because ultimately, and this is where we start analyzing anatomy and physiology rather than guessing, if I pick something up off the ground and put it back down again, the human body's got three movement patterns. We can push with our upper body, pull with our upper body, and lower ourselves down to the ground and get back up again. Interestingly, if I lift something heavy, and we'll just quickly run through it, I'm going to use obviously my fingers, my forearms, my upper arms, my shoulders, my back, upper back and lower back. I'm going to use my abdominals because otherwise I'd fall forward. There's an argument that your chest is not working that hard, but I would argue back, how could you pick something up off the ground if you weren't using your chest? Or if you've ever had a pinged something sore in your chest and you've tried to pick something up, it becomes a little bit complicated because obviously when you lift something up off the ground, you have to use all of the muscles in your upper body, including your chest. And obviously you're using your every muscle in your legs, including your butt and your toes and your calf muscles, tibialis anterior, everything gets used if you are lifting something heavy. So technically you could probably get away with one exercise, but maximum three. So push with your upper body, pull with your upper body, and lower your body down to the ground. Waha. Now, if you have a look at those exercises, rather than let's do bench press, let's do chin-ups, let's do squats, which is technical words that a lot of people don't understand, why not just get people to push, pull, and lower themselves down to the ground? And does it have to be at the gym? Could we pick up a box of rocks? Could we pick up a bag of books? Could we pick up a dog? Could we pick up our children? Could we pick up a bag of groceries? And that's the beautiful thing. Your muscles and bones are blind, can't count. As long as they're getting overloaded, they'll get strong. So which exercises are best? There's no particular exercise. It's just movement patterns. And now I've got maximum three exercises. So what do I do to get strong? Use all your muscles and bones and lift as heavy as you possibly can. Now, the reason for overload is that if I don't overload my body's got no reason to change. So if I'm weak and I keep doing weak things, so if I'm capable of lifting 5 kilos and I keep lifting 5 kilos, I'm not going to get any stronger. My body only changes when I force it to change by overload. Yay! So the exercises that we do are safe. Big exercises, big results. Three exercises at the most. And then how many times do I do it? Now, there's a great question. How the hell would I know? Why not just ask your client, the person in front of you, the one that you're exciting to exercise, let's do as many as we possibly can. That's base. Let's work out what you are capable of doing at the moment. Now, if the person can do, say, more than 20 times, and I'm not talking about numbers specifically, it's just that if I'm doing an exercise more than 20 times, I'll probably get bored, and we don't want that for our clients. We want them to keep exercising, so boring is no good. And if I understand my energy timeline, again, my energy systems, I want to stay in that phosphate power system around about the 10-second mark. So it's going to be literally as heavy as I can lift in about 10 seconds. And if I can do more than 20 in 10 seconds, that weight is far, far too light and I won't be overloading my muscles. So my base is, let's pick this up, put it back down again, pick it up, put it back down again. Go as hard and fast as you can and safely. So obviously there's some workplace health and safety requirements that come in there. If I'm working on a building site or in a factory or in a warehouse and I have to pick something up, I'm not going to pick it up really fast and throw it around. I'm going to keep the weight close to my body. I'm going to use all the muscles in my body and keep them as close to the upright position as possible. Everything's going to remain strong and solid, and I'm not going to throw anything because otherwise I'll hurt my client. If I hurt my client, they can't keep exercising. All of that makes pretty much common sense to me. How about you? So pick something up safely, put it back down again, pick it up, put it back down again, keep the weight close to your body. If you can do it more than 20 times, we obviously have to increase the weight. Woohoo! Now, the other really important thing is that do we have different lifestyles? Do we have changes in our lifestyle? And is it possible that how much sleep I get, how much nutrition I'm putting into my body, how tired I am, how stressed I am, how I live my life could also affect my exercise program? So often we get people to lift a certain weight and then they come back and we get them to do more. But ultimately, we need to make sure that their lifestyle can afford for them to be able to do what we want them to do that day. I hope that makes sense, simply because I don't want to hurt somebody. That's the number one rule for an exercise professional. So there's this great terminology called absolute intensity versus relative intensity. So I might, at my very best day, when I'm the strongest I can possibly be, I've had a great sleep and I'm full of great food and nutrition, I might be able to do my personal best lift. However, if I'm tired, if I haven't eaten well, if I'm stressed, if my life is not going the way I want it to at the moment, I might not be able to do my personal best today. And I'm just going to work to my relative intensity. So I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can on that particular day. And could that be a great idea with our clients, the people that we're working with? Let's do as many as we possibly can today, which is why I don't understand we're so committed to numbers in the exercise profession, reps and sets. I don't know how many I can do today. You don't know how many I can do today. We're just going to do as many as we possibly can. And when you can't do any more, for your mental toughness, maybe we're going to aim for one more, because every time we do more than we thought we could, we obviously expand our brain and we put more of those neurotransmitters into our brain that makes our brain mentally tougher and stronger as well, not just our body. Yay, strength training for your brain. So how do I do this? Pick 1, 2, 3 exercises. Do those exercises as many times as you possibly can. If you can do it more than 20 times, next time you do it, you're going to increase the weight. You're going to do it safely and controlled so you don't hurt yourself. No shearing forces across the joint. That's why picking a safe exercise that isn't going to hurt me means I can keep doing it for the rest of my life. How many times I'm going to do it, as many times as I possibly can, which takes out the whole sets idea. Reps is the number of times you do the exercise. Why on earth would you do it again? Why would you go back and do what you've already done? You have stimulated the muscles. You've overloaded the muscles. Why would you go and overload them again unless you wanted to cause some kind of overuse injury? So you'll often hear you should do 2 sets or 3 sets or 5 sets. And my question is always, why? Why would I do that? And how does that work? And nobody's ever been able to answer that question for me, because muscles respond to overload, not to reps, not to sets, not to numbers. So if I'm overloading my muscles and bones safely and I stimulate them, now I've broken down the muscle fibers. They have to regenerate, they have to recover, and then they super compensate. So often the thing when we talk about getting stronger is when should I train? How often should I train? And again, how do I answer that question? I don't know. Strength training simply means that I'm getting stronger. So if I come back to lift that same box of rocks again, or that same wheelbarrow full of sand, and I can't lift it more times, or I can't lift more rocks, then I haven't gotten stronger. But if I've got 3 big rocks in my wheelbarrow, and last time I couldn't do any more than 10, and today I did 12, I've obviously gotten stronger. If last time I did 20 with 3 rocks and this time I put in 4 rocks and I did 15, I'm obviously stronger, not because of the numbers, but because I'm lifting more than I did last time. And it's not about lifting more times. It's just, let's have a look at the overload. How much am I lifting? And I want to be able to lift more. And that is proof that my body's getting stronger. But if I don't rest for long enough, if I don't recover from that last workout, if I don't super compensate, which is get stronger, then I'm not getting stronger. That's why it makes all of this is so simple. So, Rowie, what exercises should I do? Safe ones that work as many muscles as possible at the same time, that don't put shearing forces across your joints. Rowie, how many should I do? As many as you can. And if you can do more than 20, put the weight up next time. How often should I exercise? Only when you've gotten stronger. And theoretically, when you have a look at the processes that have to recover, it's not just the muscles and bones that have to recover, regenerate and supercompensate. So does your central nervous system and so does your endocrine system. And often they're the ones that we nail, because we're sprinting and we've got a stressful life and we're learning lots and we're constantly overloading our central nervous system. You'll quickly find out that you haven't recovered if you go back to lift that same weight and you lift less. That means that you are still in, we want to be anabolic. We want to be constantly growing, getting stronger and bigger and better. But if I'm catabolic, which means I'm getting weaker, then obviously I'm not getting stronger. So it's not about how many times I go to lift weights. It's not where I go. It's not what I lift. It's simply overload my muscles, use as many muscles and bones as I possibly can at the same time, and then give myself enough time to recover. And again, when you have a look at all the systems that have to recover safely, we're looking at about once a week. If you are really a person who doesn't put a big effort in, you might be able to go twice a week. You might be able to lift a big box of rocks twice a week. But ultimately, once a week, and here we go. Rowie, how do I get fit? Get puffed as many times as you can in the time frame that you've got. Don't go again until you're fully recovered. Rowie, how do I get strong? Let's pick something that you want to lift and let's lift it. Let's see how many you can do. And then next time we either want to lift more or more weight, because we want to get stronger. which exercises are best. The ones that use all your muscles and all your bones and your endocrine system and your central nervous system, and you lift in the safest way possible. And really, there's only three exercises, and I'm going to argue again that there's possibly only one. What if we kept it that simple? What if exercise programming, getting people fit and getting people strong, was as simple as, let's get you puffed doing something that you love to do in the time frame that you have to invest, and don't go again, get puffed, don't go again until you're fully recovered. What strength training exercises should I do? Let's lift something. Let's lift it as many times as we can. And next time you come to lift, we want to be able to lift more, because then we've proved to our own head that we've gotten stronger. And another beautiful reminder, if I'm fit and if I'm strong, what will happen to my life? What will happen to my body? What will happen to my aging process? What will happen to my self-esteem and my self-confidence? What will happen to my hair, skin and nails? What will happen to my ability to think clearly, to handle stress? What will happen to my chances of picking up diseases, germs, bugs or viruses? And even if I do, what will happen to the time frame that I can recover in? And all of those are positives. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to feel fantastic. I'm going to be smarter and wiser because I'm expanding my brain. And all of that comes from being fit and strong. So why do we complicate it? And I don't have an answer for that. The only answer I can give you is that I used to follow what other people said. I used to listen to other people's opinions. And when you start asking why are we doing this and how does it work, there's a lot of things that just don't add up. Why would we do that and how does it work? And if somebody can't give you a logical explanation, then please work it out for yourself. And if you are an exercise professional, would it be a really good idea to work out how the human body works, what it's made of and how it works? And anatomy and physiology are really simple as well. The human body is meant to survive. The human body is meant to be strong. It's meant to be fit. And your body will do everything to make sure that you are. And if we can get people excited about being fit and strong, isn't it awesome the results they're going to get, the way they're going to feel, and the quality of life they're going to have? But we wouldn't know any of that if we don't understand what the body's made of and how it works, anatomy and physiology. So if this is your career path and you're excited about inspiring people to exercise, then let's find out how simple it is to get people fit and to get people strong. And let's stop listening to other people's opinions and let's work it out for ourselves. Could that be a great idea?